Welcome to the Ark Church Podcast. On here, you'll find all of our Sunday and Wednesday messages, as well as classes and special services. If you would like more information about the Ark Church, visit us at thearkchurch.com or download our app available to all app stores. Our heart for you is that you would live for God, grow stronger, and make a difference. Enjoy.
Down south, they have churches that will talk back to you when you preach. This is not necessarily one of those, but it's Wednesday nights. See, they don't amen here, they go woo. But this church was a talkback church. And the preacher stood up on Sunday morning. He said that this church is going to do what God called us to do. We're going to have to walk. And someone said, let her walk, preacher, let her walk. He said, if this church is going to do what God has called us to do, we're going to have to run. Crowd's starting to warm up now. They said, let her run, preacher, let her run. He said, this church is going to do what God's called us to do. We got to fly. Now they're really shouting. They're like, let her fly, preacher, let her fly. He said, and if this church is going to fly, it's going to take money. And they got real quiet, and from the back somebody said, let her walk, preacher, let her walk. We got to go to three services, guys. But if this church is going to fly, it's going to take people. It's going to take people. So this morning, we're not raising money, we're raising people. We need to build our volunteer corps. We need to get that going. The goal is to start three services in January. And here's the deal, look around. It's crowded in here. We've had services that have crowded. We've had to delay service getting in. We need to make room for people to come. We believe the Ark Church is meant to be a battleship, not a cruise ship. You know, a cruise ship has a lot of people with a few people serving. And quite honestly, we only have, it's less than 20% of the population here serves. That's not even the 80-20 rule. And so we don't want to be a cruise ship. At a battleship, everybody's got something to do. And so we want to increase the ability of people who are doing things in this thing. And let me tell you something, though. A battleship can do some damage to the enemy's kingdom. And that is what we are here to do. We are here to do damage to the enemy's kingdom. So this morning, we're talking about serving here at the Ark. You say, well, Alan, are you trying to sell us on serving? That's exactly what I'm going to do this morning. But it's got some, I want you to listen to me because it's really got some good things that pertain to you. Christian life is often defined by what we don't do. And you used to hear people say, well, you know, if you're a Christian, you don't party, you don't have any fun, you don't. No, that's not the don'ts we want to focus on. Paul was writing to Titus. He was a pastor. And he wrote these words. He said, for the grace of God has been revealed, bringing salvation to all people. And we are instructed to turn from godless living and sinful pleasures. We should live in this evil world with wisdom, righteousness, and devotion to God, while we look forward with hope to that wonderful day when the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be revealed. Don't you know Jesus is coming back, guys? He will come back and he will come again. And so he gave his life. Jesus gave his life to free us from every kind of sin, to cleanse us, and to make us his own, very own people, totally committed to doing good deeds. So there's some things we don't do. We turn away from the type of living that doesn't honor God. We turn away from God. And that's a process. That is the whole thing. Many of you know my background, but when I came back to the Lord, I was partying pretty hard, smoking a lot of weed, partying, drinking a lot. And that bothers some people to hear that. Like I said, this was like 44 years ago. This was not last week. And so but I turned away from that. And by the way, this is the day I'm celebrating because it was this day, 44 years ago, I came back to the Lord and gave my life to Him. And that's a rule. And I am glad because if I hadn't have done that, I wouldn't have known you. You wouldn't have known me. But God called me to do it then. And listen, that's a decision I've never regretted. And so when we talk about what we don't do, we turn away. And it's a process. We're turning away from from things that would hinder us, things that don't honor God. But there's things we do. We do look forward to Jesus coming back again. We do acknowledge and identify with being His own people. We're His people. We're part of His kingdom. We're part of His family. We're His people. And we are people totally committed to doing good works. I really believe that we're seeing the vestiges of a revival in America. We started to see it in this church back during the summers as people begin to come in, as decisions begin to be made. As Philip said, we just baptized 270 plus people. Listen, God's doing some good things. And He's not just doing good things here. He's doing good things all over. He's doing good things all over America. There's things taking place. And there have been revivals that have taken place in America since the 1700s. But when God moves, I tell you, one of the things that's noticed is it moves on His people, and His people begin to live differently. Not just what we don't do, what we do. And I believe this next revival will have people saying, we're not just going to talk the talk. We're going to walk the walk. We're going to live this life and serve God. And in an environment where people have a hard time discerning what's real and what's fake, they'll be looking for you. And they'll look at your life and you can go, let me tell you something. Let me tell you, this is the real deal, what Jesus has done for me. But they see it in our works and what we do. When I came back to the Lord, I came back on this day. It was a Friday. On Sunday, I was in church. And then I went to another church in the area. And then just 2 weeks later, I walked into Lakewood Church. It was back in the Wayside Drive, rough part of town. And man, I walked in. As soon as I walked in, I thought, I'm home. I was living in Clear Lake City. That's a long drive. But as soon as I walked in, I thought, I am home. I hadn't been there but about 2 weeks. When a man walks up to me, he said, you look like you would make a fine usher. That just appealed to me. I was 22 years old. That appealed to my ego. I'm like, yeah, I would. I had no idea how to usher, but they taught me. And so being an usher, I was there. And this was back when we did church Sunday morning. Sunday night, Wednesday night. Anybody remember those days? And church didn't last an hour. You people are so blessed. Church did not last an hour. Church lasted. If we went an hour, something was wrong. It was an hour and a half. It was 2 hours sometimes. We were in church. But you know what? Being an usher helped me so much because I'm coming back to the Lord. I would go to church sometimes when I didn't feel like it. Now, I know I'm not talking to you people. I'm talking to people who aren't here. But people who sometimes you get up in the morning, you go, I don't know. I don't think I feel like it. But because I had a responsibility, I went just so I could be an usher. And that helped me so much. And it was a blessing. Joy, unbeknownst to me, Joy, we didn't know each other at that time. Joy got saved. And when she got saved, she volunteered to help at a Florida mental institution. And would just go in and would minister to the people. And what we have found over the years is Joy and I have built a life on serving. We built a life. We built it. And you say, well, of course you have. You're a pastor. Listen, for the first 15 years when I was out of college, I was a volunteer. And I volunteered and Joy volunteered. But we built our life on that. And it gave us a reason. It gave us something bigger than just the kids, just the life, just the career. It gave us something bigger than ourselves to live for. It became a building block. And we've had a missional marriage all our life. And boy, that has made a difference. It's something bigger than ourselves. But you know, when the Lord asks you to serve, please understand He's asking you to do something bigger than you. Bigger than yourself, to be a part of something bigger. He did that with Peter. Peter, we know Peter is the apostle. Peter's the guy who did walk on water. Peter who did some amazing things. Peter who wrote a couple books in the Bible. But Peter started out as a fisherman, and Jesus had a task for him, and Peter had to agree to it. It's found in Luke, the fifth chapter. In Luke chapter 5, verse 1. So it was as the multitude pressed about him, Jesus, to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, that's also called the Sea of Galilee, and saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, that's Simon Peter, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. When he stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we've toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees. Probably he fell at his knees because the boat was so full of fish, he couldn't even get to his feet. And saying, "Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you'll catch men." So when they brought their boat to land, they forsook all and followed him. Jesus went to Peter. Jesus had a need. Peter was the answer. Say, well, Jesus could have just walked out on the lake and stood there. He chose not to. He chose to use people, and he still does. He uses people to get the message out. People were pressing in on him, and so he asked Peter, "Peter, would you let me use your boat?" And basically, he asked Peter to do something that Peter could do. And so Peter, by simply holding the boat still while Jesus taught, Peter helped Jesus get the message out. Now, Peter could have said no. He was busy. Jesus came and Peter was washing his nets. The fishermen at that time, they would work all night and then they would wash their nets in the daytime. So they worked that third shift. They worked that night shift. And here you are. I've worked a night shift before. I don't know how many of you ever worked a night shift. But when it's over, you want to go home. You want to get something to eat. You want to go to bed. And here they were. They were washing their nets. And Jesus interrupted what Peter was doing and he asked him to do something. Now, he did not command Peter to do it. He didn't tell Peter, "You better let me in your boat." He just said, would you let out a little bit? Would you do that? He didn't beg him, but he asked him. And Peter could have said no. Peter could have said, "Lord, appreciate you, but I'm busy. And I'm tired. And I'm not feeling real spiritual right now. Because I just had a long night of fishing and I haven't caught anything." Peter did not feel like he was a very spiritual person. That's why when he caught that fish, he fell down to Jesus' knees and said, "Lord, you need to depart from me. I'm a sinful man." And Jesus didn't look at him and go, "Boy, you got that right, Peter. You are a sorry dog." He said, "No, I got something better for you, Peter." Listen, God starts right where we are. He'll use us where we are, and we get to develop from there. And so Peter said, he could have said no. He could have said, "Lord, I'm a business owner. I'm a sophisticated man. I mean, holding the boat, that's kind of beneath my status." He could have looked at them and said, "It's not convenient," because I'm going to bet you that Jesus did not preach for 30 minutes. Y'all are blessed. You say, well, actually, Alan, if you were as good as Jesus, we'd stay here all day. But I'm not, and so we get out early. So here's the deal. But you know he didn't preach for 30 minutes. You say, "Well, why?" Well, because sometimes Jesus had meetings that went for 3 days. And people would sit and listen and stay for 3 days. So he was out there alone. And Peter's just holding the boat, not feeling spiritual. He was tired. It was not convenient. But what Peter did opened a door for Jesus in his life. You see, when Peter did that, Jesus said, "Now..." After Peter helped him, he said, "Now launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." I want you to catch the progression there. Jesus didn't just walk up to Peter, who was washing his net, and go, "Hey, Pete, how was your fishing?" Peter said, "Didn't catch anything." Well, Jesus said, "Well, launch out." That's not how it worked. He said, "I need you to help me. Would you hold the boat for me just for a moment?" And while Peter held the boat and helped Jesus get the message out, after Jesus had finished, then he looked at Peter and said, "Launch out into the deep. I got something for you." And Peter looked to the Lord. He was kind. He said, "Lord, you're a good preacher, but you know nothing about fishing. We have worked all hard all night. And by the way, you don't fish on the Sea of Galilee in the daytime. The fish can see you. It's very clear." And so he's like, "Lord, yep, it's your word. It's your word I will." Oh, that's one of the best things you can ever do in your life. "Lord, I don't necessarily feel like this, but at your word I will. At your word I'll forgive. At your word I'll give. At your word I'll serve. Lord, at your word I will." And he launched out. And they caught so many fish, it amazed fishermen. Now, fishermen are known to lie. Known liars. I've never heard anybody come back and go, man, we were on Conroe last night, caught so many bass, the boat began to sink. No, it doesn't work that way. God can do. Aren't you glad we got a God that can do amazing things? And when they launched out, he amazed fishermen. You're sinking two fishing boats. And Peter felt, he's like, Lord, I'm a sinner. And Jesus said, that's all right, I got something for you. But his willingness to help and his willingness to obey changed his life. It absolutely did. Now, let me talk a little bit about serving here at the Ark. This is one of those messages that's going to reminded me of something. When I was a boy, my parents had read the book by Benjamin Spock. He wrote a book on child rearing. Came out in 1945. It was a massive bestseller. Benjamin Spock was a doctor. He's a psychologist, child psychologist, and he thought it was best not to spank children. And my parents did not read that chapter. So I was spanked all the time growing up. And my parents said something. There was kind of a cliche that parents would use back then. Maybe some of you have heard it. Some of you are having to Google what spanking is. But anyway, it was... my parents would say to me sometimes, now, son, this is going to hurt me more than it hurts you. See, some of you remember that. Because you remember... That is so wrong. It is not going to hurt you more than it's going to hurt me. But when you're little, you just don't like, okay, here it comes. This message on serving is going to help you more than it's going to help me. You say, wait a minute, Alan. You're the one recruiting for people to serve at the Ark. Yeah, but I know what serving will do for you in your life. And I know it will make a difference in your life. And I just want to take a moment to thank all of the wonderful volunteers that we have who are already serving and do such an outstanding job. Thank you. Thank you. But here's the deal, guys. All of us are going to have to stand before the Lord when this is all over. We'll be down here, and then it won't seem like any time, and we're standing before Him, and we have to give an account of what we do here on the earth. If you stand up there and the Lord says, well, what did you do for me? And you look at Him and go, I did not know I was supposed to do anything for you, Lord. And He says, really? Who was your pastor? Don't you dare say my name. It's my job as a pastor to tell you that serving the Lord is one of the best things you will ever do in your life. Because here's the deal, guys. My mother-in-law, Joy's mom, 95 years old, she went to heaven just in January. My mom went in 2021. Do you know that both of those women in their last days were talking to Joy, and both of them said this, have I done enough for the Lord? Both of them, as they sensed their life was coming to an end down here, both of them became conscious of what takes place over there. And both of them began to realize, have I done enough? That sense, have I done enough? I want every one of you to be able to stand before the Lord and have Him look at you and go, well done, good and faithful servant. And my job as a pastor is to give you truth so you can operate on that. So here's the thing right here. Jesus has a need. You are the answer. You see, Jesus still uses people to get the message out. He still uses people to hold the boat. He still needs people to hold the boat. Now, holding the boat here might mean serving in the parking lot. It might mean working at the cafe. It might mean in our special needs or with our youth or with our children. Holding the boat is going to look different for different people, but He still needs people to help Him get the message out. Could you imagine how this church would be if nobody served? You walked in here and it was just me. You don't like the parking lot now. It would be crazy chaotic with nobody helping you. And you would come in and you're like, where do I take my kids? Like, what do you mean where you take your kids? You got them. They're with you. And then you're thinking, are we going to sing any songs? No, we don't have anybody playing. Well, we just have Pastor Allen. Y'all, that ain't going to work. And so you're thinking, it wouldn't be near what it is. But we got people that are holding the boat in the cafe and serving you those wonderful cinnamon rolls that we have taken all the calories out of. We prayed all of them. They're gone. You've got people helping with special needs. I'll tell you something. We got one of the top special needs departments in the whole area, of the Houston area, not just Montgomery County. We got special needs. We got children's ministry. We got a youth ministry that's reaching hundreds of kids. We're reaching hundreds of kids. And listen, God's doing some good things, but we need you to hold the boat. In this flyer you got, this is all the different areas that we have serving opportunities. And so, man, you just see different groups. And listen, we're not asking you to come and serve every week, all three services. We're asking you to pick a service, go to a service, pick a service. Usually most of our serving is every other week. So it's something that you can do. You can hold the boat, because whatever you do, you want to do for Him. Whatever you do, you want to do for Him. Paul wrote to church at Ephesus. And he was writing to slaves who I'm sure felt like, boy, there's nothing I can do for the Lord. But look what Paul wrote to these slaves. He said, bondservants, slaves, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart as to Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with goodwill or good attitude, doing service as to the Lord, not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he'll receive the same from the Lord, whether he's a slave or free. What a wonderful thing that a slave who has no choice as to what he can do. Slave would wake up in the morning and the master would say, move that pile of rocks to that side of the field. That's what he had to do. But if he would pick up those rocks and say, Lord, I'm doing this for you. I'm going to do it with a good attitude. The Bible said even doing that, the Lord would see it and honor that and reward him. Listen, tomorrow morning, you can go to your work and you cannot just work for your boss, but you can work for your heavenly master. You can serve the Lord and he can see that and he'll honor that. But that's working at your job. But when you give of your money, you're giving here, you're supporting his work. When you serve here, you're supporting his work. It's the work of the Lord. And listen, if a slave can be honored for doing it just as to the Lord, how much more you doing it just for the Lord? Say, Lord, I'm serving just to bless you, just to help you. You say, well, you know, that's a big church and the pastor doesn't know my name. Hey, I don't need to know your name. The one who matters most, the one who rewards you, he knows your name and he can honor you when you do that for him. So whatever you do. So the people, the hundreds of volunteers that we have now serving, the ones that are joining them and will be serving, you're not doing it for me. You're not doing it for the ark. You're doing it for the Lord, and he's the one that can reward you. Amen. Now, here's another thing that you say, well, Alan, I got a whole lot of reasons. There's a whole lot of reasons not to serve. I'll give you some. Too tired, too busy, too sad, too angry, too unspiritual, too spiritual, too rich, too poor, too wealthy, too young, too old. Did I get everyone? And how about this? How about all the knots? I'm not in a good place. I'm not in a good headspace right now. None of those things fit my personality profile. How about this one? This is beneath my status. And then my favorite one, it's not my passion. Hey, listen, none of this is easy. If I would lie to you, I'm not lying to you. Serving is not easy. It's not the easiest thing you'll do. It's one of the most fulfilling things you'll do, but it's not the easiest thing you'll do. But newsflash, Jesus never said, pick up your lawn chair and follow me. He said, pick up your cross and follow me. And so that's what we do. It is not the easy route. It's the best route. And it'll make a difference in your life. Look what it says here again. Thank God he gives us the victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. So my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord, for you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. Nothing you do for him is useless. When I came out of Bible school, I went to Lakewood. I was working in car sales 5-6 days a week. Working on car, but I wanted to volunteer. So I came back to Lakewood and I met with a man named Brother Dearman. He was a Coca-Cola executive that left to help John Osteen at Lakewood Church. I said, Brother Dearman, I'm back. He said, that's good. I said, I'm ready to go to work. He said, that's great. Children's Church could use some help. And I know he didn't hear me. So I said, Brother Dearman, I am back from Bible school. I learned a lot of good things in Bible school. And he said, that's good, Alan. He said, Children's Church could use some help. And so I know the message was not getting across to him. that he needed me at 25 to be teaching an adult Bible class. And so I said, Brother Dearman, I made straight A's in Bible school. He said, that's great, Alan. Children's Church could use some help. And I had a revelation. Children's Church could use some help. And so I joined Children's Church, and my first job in the ministry, I'd been an usher, but now I'd graduated, and I was crowd control for fifth and sixth grade boys. And I would walk up and down. I wasn't even teaching. I was working for a guy who owned a bunch of beauty salons. And he was the teacher, and I was crowd control. So I'd walk up and down the aisles, and I'd point at kids and go, that was my ministry. And the enemy used to sit on my shoulder when I'd walk out and go, you got a great ministry. But then I got promoted. They asked Joy to start a special needs ministry there. They didn't have one. And Joy said, okay, I'll start one. They gave her an empty room. No announcements, no anything. But they gave her an empty room, and Joy went in there. She prayed every week for 3 weeks. Let me tell you something. When Joy starts praying, look out, people. On the fourth week, 7 special needs kids showed up. Joy said, I need help. They said, okay, we'll get you some help. And they gave her a teenager, and they told me, your wife needs help in the special needs area. So here I go into the special needs area. I wasn't even teaching a class. I was holding some of the kids who had seizures while Joy taught. So my second job in the ministry was working for Joy. It's been that way ever since. But anyway, I'm holding on to that child. And by the way, that child that I held on to, the Lord healed him, and his seizures stopped, and he got better. I could have said, I'm a Bible school graduate. I'm a college graduate. I have an education. These things are beneath me. But anything you do for the Lord is not useless. Anything you do for Him has value. And here's what I'm convinced of. If I hadn't have done that, I wouldn't be doing this now. You've got to start somewhere. There's a lot of benefits to this, guys. But here's one of the beautiful things is when you begin to serve, it opens the door to God in your life. It opens the door. Hebrews, the 6th chapter, verse 10. The writer of Hebrews says, for God is not unjust. He will not forget how hard you've worked for Him and how you've shown your love to Him by caring for other believers as you still do. God doesn't forget. Let me show you this. You've heard from me. Let me let you hear from Peyton and Yaklin, couple that serves here.
You run up and you start serving. A lot of these youth, they come up to you and they don't know what happened to mm-hmm. you in your real life, but they just see you and they want to play. For me, it's just magnifying God in those moments or magnifying them and minimizing your own problems. Mm-hmm. And then just seeing how many of them maybe don't have that figure in their lives. And you get to do something bigger than yourself.
I think we've seen the fruit that serving can give. So we made like a small change, or we were there. Even if we didn't talk a whole lot, we were there and created an environment for them to get closer to God. And so I just think it's amazing to see now.
When you get here and you see the people you're around, you have a lot of people to partner with. It's cool because it forces you to be consistent. You know, you may not be feeling it. One of you may be upset. And then you get here, you see all the other volunteers, you can partner in prayer. And I mean, it changes everything. It just makes you stronger together.
Like you said, some days you feel it. Some days I don't feel it, and you just hold each other accountable, and I think it's really a good thing.
Yeah, you do it out of obedience, because I mean, it's not about what you're feeling. You know, you may, you know, you're not gonna feel it every single day, but sure. God knows it. You know, whether you're upset, happy, sad, you do it for the Lord.
There was a point in my life where like my anxiety was very bad. I would come serve on Wednesdays, but sometimes like Peyton would have to push me here. And I would have an anxiety attack in the parking lot right before I came to serve. Yeah. And it was hard. It was hard showing up. But never did I come and serve and leave wishing I hadn't come. I always felt so blessed, like, after coming and serving. Even if I didn't do much, even if you're on bathroom duty, making sure kids aren't playing in the restroom.
Hey, that's a job.
That's a job.
That's a job.
It just feels good knowing that you're doing something in the house of the Lord.
Yeah.
And things didn't change right away for me. It took time, but the Lord really starts working in you when you make the space and you make the time to come and serve Him, even when you don't feel like it. For a while, when you start serving, you can feel a little out of place, but I've met some amazing friends, and I've met amazing people. And with the youth, you meet amazing youth and you just get to pray for them and get to love on them and you get to build your community. Mm-hmm. We started serving and we made friends and I just feel like I have a family here.
Four years ago, someone asked me to serve. Now I'm going to ask you, would you help us? Would you get involved? Would you do something for the Lord? Now here's how this works. Here are different areas that you can serve in here at the Ark. If you would simply tap your phone, this is the only time I'm going to tell you to get your phones out. You can get your phones out. And if you'll tap that disc in front of you, it will give you simply an interest form that says, I'm interested, and we will send you a link to fill out. There are instructions there. So while you take out your phone and tap, individually, if you have a couple that says, we want to serve, both of you need to fill out those forms individually, not together. So I'm asking you to do it. I won't beg. I won't command. I can't do that. I'm your pastor, not your master. But I am asking you to get involved. We have a community to reach. We have people to reach. We need your help. Jesus needs your help. So would you do that for him? And while you do, let me just share one story. Joy, when she was in college, she thought she was going to marry a guy, wealthy man. He was a son of a cardiologist and just a wealthy guy. And they broke up, and it really crushed Joy. And emotionally, she just could not handle it. And she couldn't, and in fact, she was at Florida State. She completed almost 3 years, and she dropped out of school. Emotionally, she just wasn't dealing with it. And her family was so concerned, they sent her out to live with some relatives out in California. And somehow Joy connected with a Catholic service agency that ministered to special needs children from 0 to 18 years old. It was a respite home where they would leave these children. She was there 2 days and the people in front of her quit and they made her head at 20 years old. She was head of a respite home. And Joy said she was praying for those kids. She's ministering to those kids. She was asking God that. She said sometimes it was life or death. But she said one of the biggest things it did was it snapped her clear. Her mind became clear. Her emotions became clear. And that dark place she was in, boy, this pulled her out of it. Listen, we know the value of what serving others can do. It can pull you out. Sometimes when people are going through a hard time, they're like, I just need me time. I need me time. No, you need serve time. You need serve time. It's counterintuitive, but it'll make such a difference in your life. So Joy did that. She served. And then she was going to be, she was going to be a nun. She was getting ready to go to Italy and serve over in a convent there, an orphanage there. And she stopped in Houston, Texas to see her sister. And in Clear Lake City, she met an amazingly handsome man there. And then I spared the world from the next Mother Teresa. I mean, but what we know is we know what a blessing serving will do in your life. What if before you got out of the vehicle, if all of a sudden a voice spoke to you and said, I don't forget what you do for me. Well, wouldn't it make a difference in your serving? But we just read that. We have a more sure word. God doesn't forget. And we've seen it open doors in our business. We've seen it open doors in our careers for our family. It makes all the difference in the world. So we're asking you to get involved and serve. And you know, you say, Alan, I don't feel like I have much to offer. You may feel like Corky with shaky hands, but God will use shaky hands and a willing heart to make a difference in other people. Would you bow your head for a moment? We've talked about serving, and it's so important. It's so important for your life with the Lord. But do you have a life with the Lord? That's where we really need to start. Are you here this morning, or you're watching online, and you say, you know what, Alan, I don't have a relationship with the Lord. I've never asked him to be the Lord and Savior of my life. Or maybe you're saying, I did that, but I've gotten so far away from God, I know I want to come back. We're going to say a prayer. I'm not going to have you stand up. I'm not going to have you come to the front. But sitting there in your seat or watching online, this prayer is for you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one's looking around. But if you're saying right now, man, I want in on this prayer. I want to come to the Lord. I want to come back to him. Would you pray for me? Would you slip your hand up across this auditorium and say, Alan, that's me. Thank you. Thank you for your courage. Thank you. Thank you. You can put your hands down. We're going to pray. Maybe you didn't lift your hand. You wanted to. Listen, this is still a heart prayer. We're going to pray with you. If you're online, you can pray this prayer. If you're by yourself, pray it out loud. If you're with others, pray it quietly. If you're here, pray with you. We're going to pray with you as a church family. Say, Dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to you. Heads are still bowed, eyes are closed. Father, thank you for those that prayed that prayer. Father, thank you for those who've come to you and for those who've come back. Father, you've done so much for us. We appreciate what you've done. We thank you for their new life. We thank you for the purpose that you have for them. What a blessing that is to be in your kingdom. We give you all the praise for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope this message has blessed you. Don't forget to check us out on all the social platforms. We're uploading encouraging content on a regular basis. For more information, go to thearcchurch.com. Have a great week.